Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q4 and full year FY 2019 earnings conference call of Hindalco Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Subir Sen. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sen.
Thank you, and a very good day to everyone. On behalf of Hindalco Industries Limited, I welcome you all to this earnings call for the fourth quarter and the financial year ended 31st March 2019. On this call, we'll be referring to the latest Q4 and the full year investor presentation that is uploaded on our company website. Some of the information on this call may be forward-looking in nature and will be covered by the safe harbor language on slide number two of the presentation. As you know, the presented financials of India business includes relevant numbers of Hindalco's 100% subsidiary, Utkal Alumina International Limited, to present a comprehensive view of the overall business. For this purpose, standard principles of consolidation have been applied by the elimination of intercompany transactions and unrealized profit and loss of the inventory. For comparison, all previous numbers or previous year's numbers have also been presented in a similar manner. On today's call, we have with us from the Hindalco management, Mr. Satish Pai, our Managing Director, Mr. Praveen Maheshwari, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. J.C. Latta, CEO, Birla Opus. From the Novelis management, we have with us Mr. Steve Fisher, President and CEO. Now let me hand over this call to Mr. Pai for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Subir. Good evening or morning, everyone. Welcome to our earnings call for the fourth quarter and full year 2018-2019 of Hindalco. On slide three, I'll begin with the key highlights of the company's performance in FY 2019. This will be followed by an update on macroeconomic and industrial environment and overall business results. Later, Praveen will be covering the operating and financial performance of all our businesses in detail. So let me start with the key highlights of FY 2019, starting with slide number five. Hindalco recorded its strongest consolidated full-year performance despite a challenging business environment. This performance was a result of best-ever results by Novelis, record results by the India Aluminium segment, and a sustained performance by the copper business. Our Indian businesses have achieved record PAT, PBT, and EBITDA for the full year 2019. Let me give you some numbers reflecting this performance. Hindalco reported its highest-ever consolidated profit after tax at 5,495 crores, which grew by 23% versus 4,482 crores in FY 2018, post-adjustment for tax-affected exceptional items. Consolidated PBT was at a record high. EBITDA was at the highest ever at 16,627 crores, up 11% compared to the prior year. In India, we achieved record aluminium production of 1,295 kt, and Novelis reported record shipments of 3,274 kt in FY 2019. The consolidated balance sheet further strengthened with consolidated net debt to EBITDA improving to 2.48 at the end of March 2019 versus 2.82 at the end of March 2018. This improvement was a result of our continuous focus on deleveraging and EBITDA growth. Let me give you some key highlights of Novelis' performance for the year. Novelis recorded the highest ever shipments in FY 19. This was due to higher shipments of both beverage can and automotive sheets that grew by 7 and 2% respectively. Adjusted EBITDA reached an all-time high of $1.368 million in FY 19, up 13%. Adjusted EBITDA per ton also reached its best ever at $418 per ton. Recycled content surpassed 60%. It reached a level of 61% in FY 19 compared to 57% in FY 18. On Aleris acquisition, the approvals are in progress and we expect the deal to close as expected on quarter two of FY 20. Now moving on to Novelis' Hindalco business. it delivered a record EBITDA of 7,532 crores in FY19, a 5% rise over the previous year. This was on back of stable operations supporting macros despite a significant increase in input costs compared to last year. In FY19, the interest costs were lower by 15% year-on-year on account of prepayments and repricing of the long-term loans. Profit after tax was higher by 21% at 2,678 crores compared to 2,197 crores in FY18 post-adjustment of tax-affected exceptional items that were there in FY18. On slide 6, I will share with you some of the key highlights of our aluminium and copper business. The aluminium business, including Utkal, reported an EBITDA of 5,202 crores with a growth of 9% compared to FY18. The EBITDA margin stands at 22%. Alumina and aluminium metal production was at a record 2.893 kt and 1.295 kt respectively. Aluminium VAP, excluding wire rods, did remarkably well with a production of 321 kt in FY19, up 5% year-on-year. This rise reflects our continuous focus on value-added operations in India. On the upstream side, brownfield expansion of Utkal Alumina by 500 kt is on track and is expected to be commissioned by FY21. Coming to our copper business, it recorded an EBITDA of 1,469 crores versus 1,539 crores in FY18, which was lower compared to the last year due to lower TCRC and planned maintenance shutdown in FY19. This was overall a sustained performance by the copper segment despite operational and macro challenges. On the value-added portion of the copper business, the continuous cast rod production was up 47% at 245 kt due to the ramp-up of the new CCR3 plant commissioned in FY18. The CCR3 plant achieved a production of 117 kt in FY19 and is expected to reach design capacity by the end of FY20. The fertilizer DAP production was higher by 48% year-on-year to reach 303 kt in FY19. Let us now look at the broader economic environment in slide 8. The global macroeconomic environment is going through uncertainties caused by the escalation of the trade war, the Chinese and European slowdown, Brexit, and geopolitical issues. As a result, the central banks across geographies are moving towards neutral or accommodative policy stance to support economic growth. The US economy recorded the fastest first quarter growth in 4 years at a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 3.2% from 2.2 in Q4 of CY18 and 2.3 in Q1 CY18. Growth was led by a sharp pickup in contribution from trade and gross private investment. Additionally, the unemployment rate fell to the lowest rate in 50 years, while the monthly jobs growth remains solid, about 200,000. However, there are concerns over industrial, housing, and private investment growth going forward. China's GDP grew by 6.4% in Q1 CY19 versus 6.8% in Q1 CY18. The moderation in economic growth is majorly driven by the escalation of trade war with China. China has announced a series of stimulus measures to support growth. Seasonally adjusted GDP growth in the Eurozone is at 1.2% in Q1 CY19 as against a growth of 2.4% in Q1 CY18. Conclusion of the Brexit issue will have a major impact on Eurozone policy making. The IMF is projecting a global growth of 3.3% in 2019 versus a growth of 3.6% in 2018 due to various trade tensions and uncertainties. In India, the economy grew by 6.6% in Q3 FY19 versus a growth of 7.7% in Q3 FY18. The index of industrial production also witnessed softness in growth. In FY19, it grew by 3.6% as against a growth of 4.4% in FY18. Therefore, to support economic growth, the RBI has further reduced key policy interest rate by 25 bps to 6% from 6.25% earlier. This interest rate reduction was the second rate cut in a row. As per the latest estimates released by the Government of India, GDP is expected to grow by 7% in FY19 versus a growth of 7.2% in FY18. Revival in investment, industrial production and a normal monsoon be key drivers for economic growth in FY20. Let me take you through the aluminium industry overview on slide 9. The price of aluminium is currently being driven by global macroeconomic uncertainties and the intensification of the trade war between US and China. As a result, the LME price witnessed a sharp fall and is currently trading around 1800 to 1850. However, SHFE prices have not witnessed a similar drop of level due to environment-led closures both in metal and alumina production in China. In addition, the restriction on scrap imports has triggered scrap shortages in China, which has resulted in additional demand for primary metal. Hence, the gap between LME and SHFE has narrowed to around $20 a ton from a high of around $275 a ton in CY19. If this reduced gap continues, the Chinese exporters may lose the competitive advantages. Moving to demand, global consumption growth continues to moderate in CY19 to around 2% from 3% in the earlier year and 6% in 2017. In the current year 19, Chinese government is trying to sustain the consumption growth of 2 to 3% by providing stimulus in the domestic market. Consumption in the rest of the world is expected to grow marginally to around 1% in CY19 from a growth of around 2% in CY18. The global market, however, is expected to remain in deficit by around 1.5 to 1.7 million tons in CY19, with a marginal deficit of 50 to 100 KT coming from China. In 2019, inventories may touch the low of pre-financial crisis level by end of Q2 2019 to below 10 million tons. Therefore, we are expecting LME prices of aluminium to show an upward trend in H2 of CY19. Domestic market continues to witness robust growth in consumption at around 9.7% in FY19 as against 9.9% in FY18. The transportation, construction and consumer durable sector were the major demand drivers other than the electrical sector. Imports continue to be a source of concern for domestic players in India as the market share of imports rose to 58% in FY19. The overall imports including scrap touched 2.3 million tons in FY19 compared to 2 million tons in FY18, registering a growth of 20%. Demand is likely to continue to be robust in FY20 and is expected around 7 to 8%. The construction and packaging sectors are likely to be big demand drivers of aluminium in India in FY20. Let me give you now a brief snapshot of the global and domestic FRP industry in CY19. The global FRP demand ex-China grew by 4 to 5%. The global beverage can stock market is showing growth in the emerging markets of Asia and South America. Also, demand from new end-use segments like sparkling water and the global shift from glass to aluminium are aiding strong growth of beverage can demand. Continuous adoption of strong, lightweight and formable aluminium sheets in the vehicle parts and structure is leading to growth in the automotive body sheet segment. This market is expected to grow at a CAGR of 12 to 15% between CY18 and CY25. Despite some current softening we are seeing in the European and Chinese demand. The domestic FRP market is also growing at a steady pace of 7 to 8%, primarily driven by transportation, construction and packaging. This growth is expected to continue at a CAGR of 7% for the next 5 years. In CY19, the global demand for refined copper is likely to be around 24 million tons, up 2% year on year. The demand in world ex-China is likely to witness a growth of around 1 to 1.5%, majorly driven by Japan, South Korea and the ASEAN region, whereas demand for refined copper in North America and Europe may witness moderation. The demand in China is expected to grow around 3 to 4% in CY19 as compared to a growth of around 5% in CY18. Scrap restriction and investment in the infrastructure is likely to support refined copper consumption in China. Overall, in CY19, refined copper market is expected to be in balance. Copper concentrate market is likely to be in deficit of around 100 kt in CY19 because of reduced production from Grasberg, Indonesia, Chile and Africa. The tightness in concentrate market is expected to be in the second half of CY19 as a majority of the smelters that went through disruption in CY18 would have ramped up fully. In addition, majority of the Chinese planned maintenance shutdowns will be over by the end of Q2 CY19. Reduced concentrate output and surge in demand from Chinese smelters may adversely affect TCRC values in CY19 on the spot level. In the domestic market, demand surged to 10% in FY19 as compared to a growth of 2% in FY18, majorly driven by growth in electrical, electronic, coupled with consumer durables. However, slowing industrial growth has been a concern during the year. Imports from ASEAN and FTA countries continue to put pressure on the domestic pricing. During FY19, imports grew by 20% versus 7% in FY18. As a result, overall market share of imports in the domestic market increased from 37% in FY18 to 42% in FY19. Major imports happened in product category of rods and wires. In FY20, the demand for refined copper in India has continued to be at the same pace as in FY18 at around 10%. The growing demand from the power sector, the government's thrust on renewable energy, and increasing demand in the housing segment and consumer durables will lead the demand for copper in India. However, low price imports remain a concern for the domestic producers. Now let me take you through the consolidated financial performance of FY19 on slide 13. Hindalco consolidated achieved an all-time high revenue of 1,30,542 crores, an EBITDA of 16,627 crores, up 11%, PBT before exceptional items of 8,083 crores, up 24%, and profit after tax of 5,495 crores, up 22% in full year 2019. Praveen will now take you through the detailed highlights of each of the business segments in the full year and quarter four.
Thanks, Satish. Coming to slide 15, Novelis delivered its best ever performance with significant rise in net sales, adjusted EBITDA and adjusted EBITDA per ton in FY19. This performance was on the back of higher shipments, cost efficiencies and favorable product mix. The percentage of recycled content improved to 61% from 57% in FY18. The global demand for aluminum FRP remained strong, reflected in the growth of shipments of both beverage cans and automotive sheets that grew by 7% and 2% respectively. The shipment mix in FY19 was 63% beverage cans, 20% automotive sheets and 17% specialties. All the organic expansion projects of Novelis in the US, China and Brazil are under construction and expected to be completed as per schedule. Slide 16 shows the story of excellent performance of Novelis in financial terms. Its revenue, adjusted EBITDA and EBITDA per ton grew 8%, 13% and 10% year on year in FY19 respectively and have been the highest ever in any financial year so far. Slide 18 gives the details of the performance of Indian aluminum businesses, including Utkal. Alumina production in FY19 was at a record 2.893 million tons. Aluminum metal production was also at its best reaching 1.295 million tons. Value-added products excluding wire rods in FY19 was up 321 kt versus 307 kt in FY18. Coming to slide 19, aluminum metal sales volumes were at 1274 kt in FY19. In Q4 of FY19, we did shipments of 325 kt, which was higher than last quarter and was in line with the same quarter last year. Value-added product sales excluding wire rods was marginally up 2% year-on-year at 301 kt in FY19. Share of value-added products in total sales has improved to 24% in FY19 versus 23% in FY18. Moving on to the financial performance of aluminum business, including Utkal, on slide 20. This segment did remarkably well in FY19 with a 13% jump in revenue at 23,775 crores versus 21,090 crore in FY18. Q4 of FY19 revenues were lower due to lower realizations. EBITDA in FY19 was up 9% year-on-year at 5,202 crore on account of better macros and stable operations, despite pressures on input costs. The EBITDA margin stood at 22% of revenue. Q4 FY19 EBITDA was lower by 18% year-on-year due to lower realizations and a stronger rupee. On slide 22, the overall copper metal production was lower at 347 kt in FY19 compared to 410 kt in FY18. This was mainly due to planned maintenance shutdown and related operational issues. CC rod production was highest at 245,000 tons. Supported by the newly commissioned CCR No. 3 mill, which produced 117 kt in FY19. DAP production was also higher by 48% at 303 kt in FY19. Coming to slide 23 on sales volume of copper and its value-added products, copper metal sales were down at 359 kt in FY19 versus 407 kt in FY18 due to lower production impacted by planned maintenance shutdown and related operational issues. CC rod sales were higher by 48% in FY19 at 243 kt. This jump was on account of higher volumes coming from CCR3 in FY19. The financial performance of the copper segment is given on slide 24. This business did well despite lower volumes and realizations. Revenue were almost at the same level at 22,155 crore versus 22,382 crore in FY18. This was supported by higher byproduct sales and realizations in FY19. EBITDA stood at 1469 crore in FY19 versus 1539 crore in FY18. This reflects a sustained financial performance despite operational challenges and lower copper realization in FY19. Let me now hand over to Satish for the rest of the slides.
So let me now give you a summary of the India business performance including Utkal on slide 26. This was a record FY19 performance for the overall India business including Utkal. It achieved the highest ever EBITDA at 7,532 crores, PBT before exceptional items of 3,659 crores and profit after tax of 2,678 crores in FY19. This resilient performance despite a sharp increase in input costs was driven by stable operations supporting macros and improved operational efficiencies. So to conclude on slide 27, I'll give you an overall business perspective and highlight some key risks. In FY19, we achieved excellent consolidated performance across all our businesses despite headwinds and uncertainties. Our integrated business approach with increasing emphasis on downstream value-added products, including those by Novelis, is leading to a more sustainable and resilient business model. This is reducing the impact from volatility arising out of the LME price movement. 70% of our EBITDA in FY19 was non-LME linked and 30% was linked. We also reported best ever financial and operational performance by Novelis on the back of higher shipments, cost optimization, recycling benefits, better spreads, and overall favorable market conditions. I believe our continuous focus on improving operational efficiencies led to this excellence in each of our businesses, including Novelis. Our consolidated net debt to EBITDA reduced further to 2.48 at the end of March 2019. We prepaid 1,575 crores of long-term loans in FY19. With respect to our growth journey, all the expansion projects of Novelis are on schedule. Approvals for LRS acquisitions are in progress as per schedule, and this transaction is expected to close in Q2 FY20. Our 500 kt Utkal alumina expansion is also on schedule and is expected to be commissioned by FY21. This will take alumina capacity of Utkal from 1.5 million tons to 2 million tons per annum. On the copper value-added side, the CCR3 plant did remarkably well this year. It produced 117 kt and continues to ramp up. Our key risks are the following. Weakening of global demand led by slowing growth in China due to the trade war. Rising imports of aluminium, including scrap, fake semis and other value-added products from China and FTA countries into India. And the impact of Brexit. So with this, I'd like to thank you very much for your attention and open the forum up for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhijit Mitra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. So I have two questions. First, if you can detail out your coal consumption and break it between e-auctions, linkage and captive for the quarter. And second, if you can take us through, the profitability or rather the EBITDA in Utkal Alumina, there seems to be a drop, which is perhaps, beyond what can be explainable by the change in price movement. So if you can help us to understand if there is some cost incidence there. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Okay, so the first point question, the coal consumption in Q4 was 4.5 million tons. The total year was 16.8 million tons. And the split was linkage coal was 55%, e-auction was 29%, our own mines was 12%, and imports was 3%. So that's the first part of your question. Q3 to Q4, coal prices were flat. Now the second part on alumina profitability, I again urge you that since it's a fully consolidated with our aluminium business, the profitability of the alumina business per se is not important because we ultimately integrate it with the rest of the Hindalco aluminium business. So any profitability of alumina is related to the transfer price that is used to transfer the alumina to the Hindalco standalone. But I think that ultimately the EBITDA that's important is the Hindalco plus Utkal. The Utkal by itself is not really relevant.
Yeah, so why I ask this question is because if I look at your integrated spreads, it has dropped more than what the aluminium price, including the hedges, would have warranted. And the only way of explaining this is by looking at the Utkal EBITDA, because standalone EBITDA has held on pretty well. So that's the reason I was asking. Probably there is some one-off in the Utkal business which could explain this sort of drop in the integrated spreads on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
So if I take quarter on quarter, the EBITDA change on the aluminium business was 242 crores. If you take the realization difference between Q3 and Q4 due to LME and rupee, it's roughly 11,400 rupees a ton.
So the total impact comes to 371 crores. It should have gone down. The hedging gave us a benefit, and hence the total drop was 230 crores. So I think we can take this online, but the LME rupee combination minus the hedging positive impact fully explains the quarter-on-quarter drop in the aluminium EBITDA.
Okay, thanks. That's all from my side.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Nanolia from Birla Sun Life. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
I'm sorry, Deepak. We can't hear you well. Can you please come a little closer to the phone and speak?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for taking my question. I have the same question on profitability, actually. What I see that your aluminium EBITDA, including Utkal, has gone down by $100 per ton. It was in Q3, it was $550 per ton, and in Q4, it's $450 per ton. Although your realization has not gone down. LME has gone down, but your realization has not gone down. It has more or less remained flat. So I just wanted to understand this $100 drop is coming from where and why your realization is not going down. You have some other elements in your revenue or something like that.
So look, the rupee LME Q4 to Q3. Taking into account LME and rupee, the rupee LME in Q4 is 1,31,397 and in Q3 was 1,41,849. That's why I said it comes down by $11,400 a ton. That's the math. And we had a positive hedging impact. That's why the total delta that comes into it. The top line also has gone down.
Yeah.
In the aluminium, let me just give you that number. What is it? The top line.
So 5,871 versus 6,000.
So 5,871 versus 6,000.
It has gone down.
It has gone down. So again, the delta in the profitability is fully explained just by LME rupee combination minus the positive impact of the hedges, which we had about 38% in Q4. I'll get Subi to show you the math offline.
And sir, your other EBITDA is also very high in this quarter. The split you give in your presentation.
Yes.
So your other EBITDA is somewhere around 375 crores this quarter.
Yes.
This is the normal trend of 200 crores.
Yes.
So why is this high and what is this exactly, sir?
No, so sometimes, you know, the treasury balances are high. Sometimes the cash flow is higher. So, and also, you know that now with the new accounting standards for the last couple of years, there are MTM gains which can come into the treasury income. You are aware that the yields actually soften towards the end of the quarter. And sometimes that can give a, you know, flip, and sometimes that can also give a negative impact to the income. Because nowadays you also account for the MTM on the treasury investment. We hold about 6,000 to 7,000 crores. We ended with 7,000 crores of treasury. So sometimes those kinds of things, and also annual accounts close in the last quarter. So there are certain one-timers which can come in and positive and negative. So don't look at it too closely from that point of view.
Relating to the treasury items and not relating to your business operations.
No. So business items go directly into the business.
Yeah, you can't put business item in the other slide.
Okay. And one more thing, sir, if you allow me to ask this question.
Sir, it's relating to your debt. Despite a significant amount of cash flow, I don't see a meaningful reduction in your net debt. So can you please explain that?
I'm sorry, our net debt today is around 14,000 crores and we paid off 1,575 crores this year, leading to a net debt to EBITDA of 2.2 versus 2.67.
How much is your net debt today?
14,600 crores.
Yeah.
14,600 crores?
14,000.
So I'm asking at consol level.
Oh, at the console level, I think console level problem what you are doing is probably converting the Novelis debt into rupees, and the rupees depreciation makes the rupee debt of Novelis looks slightly higher. But
even that has gone down.
Even that has gone down.
2.82 last year, it has gone down to 2.48. That's a significant reduction.
That's the net debt to EBITDA. Yeah, he's talking about the absolute.
At the console level, you have paid how much of debt, sir?
You're talking about the gross debt or the net debt?
Yeah, gross debt. And at the console level, how much the net debt was in March 18 and how much it is today, if you can tell me the numbers.
So I'll tell you both gross and net because you're asking for both.
Huh.
So March 19, gross debt was 52,415 crores.
52,415.
Yes. And treasury between Hindalco and Novelis was 13,970 crores. So net debt of 38,445 crores.
This is in March 19, 445 crores. Okay.
Not 38,445.
And in March 18 it was?
March 18 it was 39,311.
311.
Yeah.
So you paid somewhere around...
Let me again tell you, the prepayment was done in the India debt of 1,575. So, again, that said, when you go in rupees, the Novelis debt, if you convert into rupees, it gives you a slightly different number because the rupee has depreciated. That's why I prefer that you look at the debt of Novelis in dollars, and the Novelis debt in March of 18, gross debt, was 4.5 billion and in March of 19 is 4.38 billion. The net debt of Novelis in March 18 was 3.587 billion dollars and in March of 19 is 3.43 billion dollars. The India net debt on March of 18 was 16,893 crores. And in March of 19 is 14,683 crores. So that gives you the more clearer picture.
Thank you. We'll take the next question, which is from the line of Pinakin Parekh from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. So my first question is on this Aleris transaction. Now, if for whatever reason, either the Chinese approvals were to not come through or the EU approvals were to not come through, is there any breakup fee associated with the transaction that Novelis would have to pay Aleris?
So, Steve, why don't you start there?
Yeah, sure. Pinakin, so we've had to receive a number of approvals and received a number of approvals through the 8-9 months that we've been working on the transaction, including the CFIUS approval that we received earlier this year. We have three approvals, as maybe you're aware of, that we still need to obtain to close the transaction. It's all anti-competition or antitrust approvals in the U.S., in the EU, and in China. We stand very confident that we will actually get clearance in all three jurisdictions, and that we would close the transaction in this third quarter calendar year. Specifically to your question, though, is there fees, break fees? There are break fees for each one of these jurisdictions. In the event of U.S. and EU, it's a $150 million break fee, and in China, it's $25 million break fee. And it would be in the event of which one we did not receive. But again, not something I think you should focus on too much because we stand very confident that we will receive these clearance. We've always said this would take somewhere in the 12 to 18 month range, and we stand confident that we'll clear the transaction in third quarter of this calendar year.
Yeah, I think Pinakin, as Steve said, you know, seen the press in India because of the Tata deal, but I think to reiterate, we are very confident that we will close this transaction as we have guided in Q2 of this financial year.
Understood, sir. So my second question is on copper. If we go back to FY17 and FY18, quarterly cathode production was averaging over 100,000 tons. But this year, barring 3Q, it has been very volatile, going from 72,000 tons to 89,000 tons. Now, sir, can you give us some color as to how should we look at this division for F20? I mean, 410 came down to 347,000 tons in F19. Can this go back over 400,000 tons in F20, or do you believe this is more likely an F21 scenario?
No, I think last year we had a shutdown that went a little bit longer with some issues that we had not anticipated. So just to give you clarity, in FY20, we are going to take another little shutdown which will impact the volumes in Q1, but our full year guidance is over 400 KT for the year. So we are fairly confident that this year the copper cathode output will be more than 400 KT.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Parekh to come back in queue for follow-up question. We would also request participants to limit your question to two at a time. If you have further questions, please come back in the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Indrajit Agarwal from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Two questions from my side. First, on the profitability of copper business, that has been very volatile. So what exactly is going on there? It's more like the DAP and sulfuric acid relations have not been good, or some inherent issues in the business?
So no, I think that the Q4 profitability was affected a little bit by some of the operational issues, and we had to take some one-time provisions for certain disposal of certain waste. So otherwise, going forward, Q1 of this year, I do want to emphasize that we're going to have another little shutdown, so that will impact it. But for the rest of the three quarters of this year, we are predicting quite stable operations and stable EBITDA results. See, on the positive side, sulfuric acid, DAP, all the sort of value-added products of copper, the pricing is holding up quite well. So we are fairly confident that going forward, the copper profitability should be more stabler after the shutdown of Q1.
Sure. Thanks. Second question on the aluminum business. First, on what are the current pending hedges that we have, and also how do you see cost of production and coal availability going into FY20?
All right. So first question. So we have 15% of the commodity hedged at $225 per ton for the full year FY 2020. 11% is rupee LME hedged at 1,52,400, and 4% is only commodity at $2,421 per ton. But also we have 30% of the currency hedged for the year at 75.25. So that's our hedge position. In terms of cost of production of aluminium, I'm happy to say that we have started to see costs going down. Q4 to Q3 was flat, but in March we started to see CP coke, pitch, furnace oil pricing all starting to come down. So now with about a month and a half, we are seeing that Q1 will be at least 3% down compared to Q4 in terms of cost of production of aluminium per ton. And I think your last question, which is also very important on coal availability, we are actually going into this monsoon compared to last year in much better shape. So there seems to be adequate coal available. We seem to be getting enough rakes. Coal stocks in our plant are at healthy levels. So even e-auction premiums, imported coal prices, all are on the downward trend. So I think the next few quarters, at least, we are seeing quite favorable conditions with availability and pricing of coal.
Thanks. Just one small clarification. 3% lower on INR terms or US dollar terms?
Actually, I'm giving it on INR terms, taking into account current rupee.
That's all from my side. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Dixit from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is on TCRC margins. So what were the TCRC margins in this quarter, and how do we see TCRC margin going ahead, specifically the split between contract and spot?
Yeah, so majority of our TCRC is on contract, so there's very little spot that we have to go for. But I think the TCRC in 2019 was at, you know, which is the calendar year benchmark, is at 20.7 cents per pound, compared to 2018, which was at 21.1 cents per pound. I think we're down by about 2%, 2.87, a little less. 2.87% calendar year 19 versus 18.
Great. So the second question is on net debt. If you can split it between Utkal and standalone operations.
Utkal and standalone operations.
Utkal is 2,400 crores. The rest is in Hindalco.
Net debt, right?
No, so I'm talking about the gross debt. So net debt, you don't worry because it's treasury is fungible.
We don't have treasury at Utkal and Hindalco. It's one treasury.
Got it, got it. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumil Mehta from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to check what was the implied transfer pricing from Utkal to the smelters for this quarter and how it has changed on a Q-on-Q basis?
Yeah. 1 second. Where is that number? I'll just get you. So transfer price to Utkal for Q4 was $391 per ton, and in Q3 it was $503 per ton.
Okay. So what I want to understand is why was the cost reduction on the Q-on-Q only about 3%, given the fact that the alumina prices came down significantly? And I believe the Q4, the coal cost and everything else also would have come down for you, unless and until I'm wrong.
So look, the alumina prices are a wash, regardless of the transfer price. When I give you the cost of production, I give you an integrated cost of production, taking alumina at the cost of production, not at the transfer price.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it has no impact, whatever I... And that's why I said the profitability of Utkal should not be of any concern, because we are integrating it into the total metal cost.
Okay. Okay.
So the cost reduction is mostly due to CP coke, pitch, caustic furnace. These ones are... Coal prices are... We are slightly going down, but will not go down that much Q1Q. So really the 3% is coming more from CP coke, pitch, furnace, oil, caustic.
Sure. And second question is, you know, I don't know if you have explained that. I see a very large purchase of stock in trade in this particular quarter. What was that amount pertaining to? 225 crore is what I read over here.
So that's a small amount compared to the overall turnover. Sometimes, you know, when we buy certain things and we don't need it, it can always be disposed of.
So because even if I look at on a YOY basis, FY18 was the purchase of stock in trade was only about 5 crore, whereas this year is about 235, largely because of this quarter where I see that number as 225 crore.
I think that in Q4 we sold off probably one consignment of copper concentrate that we did not need. That's why it's come in stock in trade.
Okay. And my, you know, last question is, you know, if you can split in terms of your alumina cost, the aluminum cost into the hot metal, and what would be the conversion cost for, not for this quarter, but this is a very rough number would be for us.
So look,
you for the full year.
It depends whether you convert the hot metal to ingots, sheet ingots, or billets. But roughly it's between 3,000 to 6,000 rupees, because for me, the primary ways where we convert the hot metal is it can go to normal ingots, which is the cheapest, billets, wire rods, and sheet ingot. So it goes between 3,000 to 6,000 rupees. Sheet ingot is around 6,000.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kejriwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So two questions. One, you have mentioned that your cost of production in INR terms, that is flat quarter on quarter. But if I'm looking at the numbers which we have been given, like revenue and EBITDA of aluminum operation, I'm including Utkal Alumina in that. And then if we derive the cost, then cost on a per ton basis seems to be 3% higher quarter on quarter. So I'm just unable to reconcile the same.
Look, I hope you're not taking sales numbers but production numbers to do your calculation.
We are taking sales numbers.
No, no. The cost of production you have to take with production numbers, not sales. Because sales numbers can vary a couple of tons because Q3 I think was lower. We got stuck in the one break got stuck in the last few days. We couldn't. So go, if you take the production numbers and you take the cost of production, you will actually find Q4 slightly lower than Q3. And the reason I say it's flat is because there were some one-time benefits that came in, which I'm taking out so that I can see the true cost of production, and it's absolutely flat.
So in fact, if I take the production numbers, then our cost of production seems to be on a higher side. Reason being is, like in terms of revenue, first of all, the absolute number revenue figure of aluminum which you have given, and then sales volume, and we just divide it, then we come to the realization of around 183,000 versus 186,000 last quarter, which is a decline of just 1.5%. And similarly, if we do the math for cost of production, seems to be on a higher side. So either there is something one-off or which we are not aware of, or,
see, look at it. The revenue number, if you just divide by the sales, is not the right way to do it because there are many items which actually impact. For example, the sales is not just of metal. There are value-added products. So realization for them will be different. 25% of our sales is for the value-added products. Then we have the specialty business, the chemicals business. That revenue also goes into it. It is not possible for you to just divide the revenue or cost and arrive at the final number.
Okay, so we mean to say that, you know, the EBITDA per ton of $455, which is not reflective of aluminum EBITDA.
It is a mix. It is a mix of the base aluminum business, the downstream business is a part of that, and a part of the chemicals business as well.
Yeah, because in aluminum we are taking, when we are talking about 325,000 tons, we are talking about the entire aluminum volume, which includes our downstream products also.
Correct, but the value addition will be different for each type of product.
The top line, yeah.
Sir, because no, we were doing the similar math for last quarters also. On the same base, in fact, we were unable to reconcile the number. That's the reason.
No, so delta will be reconciled because delta, as we said earlier, the drop in EBITDA is explained fully by the drop in the realization.
And not by that the cost is flat.
Yeah, not the cost is not such a significant player there.
Yeah, we can take you offline through the cost, but we monitor that closely ourselves. So the cost of production, I do it on a weekly basis. So the cost is flat.
And so secondly, you talked about some M2M gain in other income. Is it possible to quantify? And similarly, some one of...
See, what happens is the treasury investments, when you value them at the end of the year, the accounting standards require you to take the M2M gains and losses as a part of your income or expense.
Yes.
So it is difficult to fix a particular amount for that other income. But you can be rest assured that that is not... That is not the business income, the aluminum and copper. Yeah.
I was just looking at it, out of this 375 crore, how much was because of this M2M gain?
We can take you through separately, but 375 is not a reflection of, you can expect every quarter to come.
Yeah, the 200-250 is a better number.
Yeah, 200-250 is a number.
Okay. And sir, lastly, when you talked about in copper, there was some one-off provisions in this quarter. Any amount which we can ascribe to that number?
So look, normally the copper EBITDA should have been around 400, it was 315. So that's the order.
Okay, fair enough, got it.
Thank you. We would request participants to please limit your question to two at a time. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Lakhani from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just following on this copper one-off, so you clearly mentioned that the normal EBITDA should be 400, this time it's 315. So just wanted to understand what would be the one-offs that led to this fall. And secondly, sir, we have again taken a shutdown in 1Q. So is this a regular maintenance that happens every first quarter, or is this something unusual?
So look, Rajesh, the one-off, again, as I said, we had a certain amount of operational issues that led to it, and we took a provision for some of the waste that we will have to sell. So I cannot, I don't know how much, I cannot give you any more clarity than that. And I think that the shutdown in Q1, to be fair, we had to pull it forward than what we would have normally liked to do. And we think it's important to pull it forward and complete it before the monsoons come, because our whole game plan is that in the remaining three quarters of the year, we are going to have a steady run that will allow us to get to the 400 KT output.
The additional factors, if I can just add in copper business between Q3 and Q4, were that the sulfuric acid price and the DAP price, the byproduct realization, was lower in Q4 compared to Q3. The copper markup also was lower compared to Q3 and Q4 because of the various imports and other market factors. So the realization also was a little lower compared to Q3 and Q4.
Understood. That explains. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Doshi from SBI Cap Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so just one question. So this Muri accident which happened recently, will it impact our operations or our requirement for alumina, or basically would we be relying on any outside alumina?
Yeah, that's a good question. So look, the Muri, what it has done is that it will, depending on when we start up, and we are planning that the restart will happen somewhere by the end of Q2. We could have a shortage of about 50 to 60 KT of alumina. By the way, we have already bought 30 KT in the month of May and already arrived. So your next obvious question for us, the impact, the cost of alumina in Muri is on the higher side, around 330. And we bought it at about 360, including transportation. So roughly between two quarters, there'll be a 50 crore impact on the alumina that we will buy from the market.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Ashutosh. Thanks for taking my question. So in the beginning of the call, you mentioned the coal sourcing percentages for linkage e-auction. That was for fourth quarter, I guess. Can you repeat the same numbers for full year 19?
Sure. The linkage coal was 60%. E-auction was 21%. Own mines was 14 and imports was 3.
And can you take us through the outlook for the own mine production in terms of Garepama, Katotia, and whether Dumri is on track for June 19, I think was the date that we...
Yes,
Dumri
is on track. But the own mine, just so that again we are clear, we use it as a swing producer. So last year when coal was very short, import prices were very high, we produced more. This year what we are starting to see is that the imported price of coal is dropping quite fast. So we are starting to actually import a little bit more because it comes cheaper than Garepalma. So really this own mines, especially for Garepalma, is used as a swing. And Katotia and Dumri we will continue as normal because we need it for Mahan. And that pricing is much better. The Garepalma one which is on the higher side.
So, sir, if I understand you correctly, the capacity could be 25% in terms of what we can meet through these mines. But the percentage usage will be on the lower side, or, you know, we'll have that opportunity to adjust it according to market conditions, is what you're saying?
Absolutely. And normally, last year what happened is during monsoons, when Coal India supply started to go down, those few months we ramped up the production of our own mines. But when we start to get good linkage coal again, then we ramp it down. So as I said, we use it as a swing to cover up our shortfall when needed.
Sure. And sir, correct me if I'm wrong. Essentially, you have a committed auction price of around 2800 rupees per ton on these mines, and then you have the mining cost over and above all that. So that should take us over 4500 kind of rupees per ton number for anything that comes out of our mines.
But you can't go as a rough average, because I'll tell you, Kathautia and Dumri will be much lower than Gare Palma, the premium that we agreed. But the Gare Palma coal is also a much better quality. So on a, it depends on a GCV, kilocal basis.
Right, right.
Right?
Sure, sure. Thanks. Thank you for taking my questions. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So in the prior question, you indicated 50 crore of impact of alumina. That is for the month of April?
No, no. Over the next two quarters, the 50 crores is of the roughly 50 to 60 KT of alumina we'll need to fill up the gap of Muri being shut down. So it's not a 1 month. It's over Q1 and Q2 is the impact.
Okay, and sir, you indicated a timeline of we'll restart Muri over next two quarters. Did I hear it right?
I said end of Q2 is the guidance, not over two quarters. Okay. We will probably start somewhere in the August-September time frame.
Okay, and that helps. Sir, secondly, can you quantify the impact of hedges in Q4? I think it would be indirectly around 150 crores. Based on the math that you indicated in one of the questions.
Yeah, my guys are nodding their head and saying yes, that's about the right number.
Okay, that helps. And sir, lastly, I just wanted to confirm on the hedges. I think earlier we had around 15% of FY20 volumes which were hedged. And now that number has actually gone up, it has gone up to 30%.
And, no, I think you missed. 15% is still 15%. I said 30% of the currency is hedged at 75.25.
Correct.
I was giving an additional information that besides 15% of the commodity,
right,
we also have 30% of the currency hedged at 75.25.
Okay. So this 15% is 11%, 1.52 lakhs, and 4% is 2421. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And sir, then you said volumes at 2025 USD. So is this a blend that we are referring to?
Sorry?
And then you also gave a number that 15% of the volumes at 2025 USD. So I could not connect the third variable.
No. I was saying 15% is hedged for commodity at $2,225 a ton.
Okay.
Okay. If you break that up, it's 11% at a rupee LME of 1,52 and 4% only at 2421. So the 2225 is an average of these two.
Correct. That helps. Sir, lastly, one hypothetical question. Because of what's going on the macro side between US and China, could that be a risk that LRS goes through and there could be a risk on incremental capex that we have to incur in China?
Sorry, I couldn't get the second part. LRS acquisition happens and what risk then?
And incremental capex that we have to do in China because of the trade tensions, because of Trump's commentary, is it something which could be at risk? The reason I'm asking is when we did the transaction, we indicated that we will derive synergies out of the China asset by committing incremental capex. So my concern was if China had to self-fund itself and if there was a question mark on cash fungibility from North America to China on incremental investments which are required in the region. Could that be a question mark? It's a very hypothetical question, but do you see that as a risk?
I don't. I'll let Steve answer that. There's no problem in funding capex in China. But Steve, you want to say anything there?
No, I think that's correct, Satish. We feel that, you know, the current, you know, slowdown in China around auto is just a near-term, you know, the hypothetical of a longer-term U.S.-China trade war, I think, is just a hypothetical. We're committed to the plans to invest in China, both in our second Zhengzhou auto finishing line and then to integrate the two facilities after we close. From a funding standpoint, there's no issues.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Chandak from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir. Just a small question with respect to, you know, we have been reporting Utkal Alumina separately versus Hindalco standalone engine. We say that it doesn't have an impact because obviously 100% of the produce from Utkal goes into Hindalco. Are there the PSI benefits that we are still looking at when we say we will not be merging Utkal with Hindalco, or there are some other benefits as well to that?
What benefits? Sorry?
Sorry, what is PSI?
Whenever you set up an industry, you have some VAT or SGST benefits. Are we looking at those benefits when we are saying we will not merge it, or there is some other rationale for not merging the two entities?
Actually, I think I have answered this in the past, but let me again repeat. That's because the Baprimali mine has been given to the existing Utkal legal entity, and we just don't want to take the risk of trying to transfer a mining lease from one legal entity to another.
Okay.
That's it.
And there's no specific benefit of merging.
Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, sir, you mentioned that you would be advancing your copper smelter shutdown. So, in this quarter as well. So, is the smelter already in the shutdown mode, or it's operating and will take a fresh shutdown?
No, it's been operating. I think our shutdown is planned in the month of June, July.
And that would be for how many days, sir?
It will be about 18 days.
Roughly. 18 days.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
All right. So, thank you all for your attention. I think that the main point I wanted to down is that Hindalco today is based on a well-balanced business model with 70% of our EBITDA that is not LME linked. So we are in Q4 and probably Q1 going through a slightly lower LME type of scenario. But I think that in compared to most of our competition and peers, we are much better placed because the combination of Novelis, copper and the downstream business gives the earnings of Hindalco a lot more strength in a volatile market like this. So that I wanted to make that first point, and second point to also say that, you know, FY19 for us was a record year at all ends of the business, which did very well. So thank you very much for your attention, and some of you with such specific questions will follow up offline. Thanks.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Hindalco Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.